The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome in to the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Haley Stasiak, filling in for Brad today, and Jordan has the day off. Before we get into things, let's run things now. The rundown's brought to you by Sagicorn Now. Please protect what matters most, your family, your loved ones. Do it with life insurance. Log into Sagicorn Now for your free quote today. We've got a great show coming up today. We've got Peter King, NBC Sports NFL columnist, coming up with Brad at 10:20. At 10:35, we've got Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL Media Senior Fantasy Analyst, talking all things fantasy football with Brad. And then at 10:50, we've got Talk to the Lopes with GCU Senior Soccer Forward Mackenzie Cook. And then at 11, we are going live with the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show. Got a pretty good show stacked there as well. Let's get into stuff going on around the Valley in sports. The Diamondbacks lost to the Cubs last night. They've now dropped 2 of 3 in the series, looking to salvage that series tonight at 6:40 at Chase Field to avoid the sweep. There's only 10 games left here in 2018, which is hard to believe. It seems like just yesterday it was opening day at Chase Field against the Rockies. Not a great stretch here for the Diamondbacks so far in the month of September, really. They come off a tough road trip where they got one win against the Astros but couldn't keep things going. The offense has been completely off. The pitching bullpen hasn't been on like we've seen earlier in the season. The Dodgers here in the NL West now have taken the lead. They are now 1.5 games up on the Rockies. That puts the Diamondbacks 6 back from taking that first place spot, and they're also back in the wild card. So the postseason hopes are looking slimmer and slimmer for the Diamondbacks as these next 10 games come up. Let's talk first about how Clay Buchholz was shut down last night. Matt Andrees took his start. He only went 2 innings, allowed 5 runs on 5 hits. 2 of those were home runs. When you have a starting pitcher go down, it's always tough. You're looking for someone to come in and aid that help. Matt Andrees has been a starter. He was what the Tampa Bay Rays are calling an opener earlier this season for the Rays. And then he's been coming out of the bullpen for the Diamondbacks since he was brought to Arizona. But things just haven't been clicking for him here in the desert and didn't click for him last night. Jimmy Scherfe came on. He's been good since he came back up from Reno. He pitched 1 inning, only allowed 1 hit. Jake Diekman, since coming over from the Rangers, hasn't been on. He came in last night as well. 1 inning pitched for him, 2 hits, 3 runs there. Sylvino Bracho also came in. But what I want to focus on here is Matt Cook. He went 4 innings, allowed 3 hits, and had 7 strikeouts. Now, Matt Cook's somebody that the Diamondbacks had start in a start spot earlier this season, and he's done well. The question kind of for me is why he didn't get that start. I believe Torey Lovullo probably just wanted to experiment, see if Matt Andrees was maybe more suited for a starter role. He did start in Reno for a couple games to get some reps there. But looking at this, I mean, you're coming into the home stretch here. The Diamondbacks have constantly said they've still got hope. They've still got hope. But there's a difference between talking the talk and walking the walk, and that's not translating to the field. So TJ McFarland was also shut down. That was announced on Tuesday. He has swelling around a bone spur in his left elbow, so that makes this already what seems very thin bullpen even thinner. On a bright note here, let's move from the Diamondbacks into some hockey. Hockey is 2 weeks away now. Coyotes played a split squad against the Kings last night. They won that game at Gila River, tied it in L.A. Lots of stuff to be excited with the Coyotes this season. The Diamondbacks season hasn't ended the way everyone was hoping it would end, with success in another postseason run, but there's some excitement to be seen with the Coyotes. Oliver Ekman-Larsson was named captain last week on Thursday. I was out at Media Day. You can catch that story on sports360az.com. You've got a lot of youth around this Coyotes team, a new guy in Alex Galchenyuk, who's known for scoring goals that can hopefully give this Coyotes team the boost that it needs to carry what they had in the second half of the 2017-18 season into this 2018-19 season. Now that they've got a captain solidified, someone to help command this team alongside head coach Rick Tocchet, looking for good things from the Coyotes. Their preseason continues this week. Moving now into the Suns as well, you can catch on sports360az.com. Our intern Kennedy Wilkerson went out to the Suns G League tryouts on Saturday. It was the opportunity for some local guys to get their last chance at playing professional basketball. She talked to head coach over there and the GM and a couple players who tried out for the team. The Suns Media Day is coming up on Monday, and then training camps get started right after that in Northern Arizona. So plenty to be excited about, even though the Diamondbacks season did not go the way everyone is expecting, as I said. Coming up next, we're going to have Peter King with Brad talking all things NFL and the Cardinals, and then we'll have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network and talk to the Lopes. After that, we'll have the Friday Night 360 AZ preview show. Keep it right here on sports360az.com.
Now let's turn our attention to all things NFL. Football Morning in America, must read, must see on NBC Sports. He is Peter King, Skyping on in from his home in New York City. I wish I had a conversation starter around the Cardinals looking like they're turning the corner. Instead, it looks like they're turning their attention to the number one overall pick in 2019. They get ready for the Bears. What do you make out of first what's going on out here in Arizona, Peter?
Well, there's a lot of teams that right now could lay claim to that number one pick. The New York Giants could. They look like they're in for a very long year. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills can. I think it's going to come down to the Bills. I don't see how the Bills are going to win games. Cardinals, that's an odd situation to me, because I think even if you thought their offense was going to struggle, that's still a defense with a lot of talent. So I'm not sure that it's over for them. I think they're like so many teams in the NFL right now. When I think of the first 2 weeks of this season, I think of about four stories that really kind of jump off the page to me. But one of them is think of how many times Sam Bradford is set up and had a clean pocket and had 3 to 4 seconds to throw. Not many.
Hasn't happened, yeah.
And same with Eli Manning. Same with Russell Wilson last night. You know, the Seattle Seahawks want to build in they want Russell Wilson to get out on the edges less. They want him to be a little bit more of a pocket passer. How can you be one when you're always getting chased out of there? Eli Manning is running for his life more than he's trying to think of making plays. And there's such a dichotomy in football right now between teams that are having a difficult time protecting the quarterback, and then on defense, you're getting to the quarterback, and the league is saying, hold on a minute, hold on. Mm-hmm. You can get to the quarterback, but you better not touch him, because when you touch him, we're going to throw a flag. I said on Twitter last night, I really thought that the league supporting the Clay Matthews flag in the Green Bay game and roughing the passer on Kirk Cousins in the fourth quarter of that game was, and then the NFL backing the call, mm-hmm. is crossing the Rubicon. It's you're now saying, the NFL is saying to defense, we are going to be comfortable with having consistent 50-point games, 10 of them every week in the NFL, because we're not going to allow you guys to touch the quarterback. Not allowing it. And it's ridiculous. It's shameful. It's harmful to the game. We could talk about it for 10 minutes easily because I think it's patently absurd.
Okay, so let's flip that over then on the offensive players and their view of the game, even former offensive players. I heard Kurt Warner during the Monday night broadcast, much like yourself, voicing his displeasure and outrage over what's going on in the league now and just taking away the game as it once was. How much displeasure and discourse are you hearing from offensive players about these rule changes?
I don't think offensive players in general, everybody is selfish in life. Kurt Warner can look at this way now, and good for him that he's saying it. Kirk Cousins told me Sunday night that call probably was generous. I mean, to put it mildly, it was generous, but good for him for saying something. But you only really speak out when your own ox is gored. And so to me, I don't think you're going to hear a lot of offensive players complaining. I think they're going to say, good, we're going to get hit less. That's great. But I do think that this is another example of the NFL saying to quarterbacks, I really started thinking about this last night. I'm starting to think that there are going to be quarterbacks this year who will easily throw for 5,000 yards. There might be two or three quarterbacks. Look at Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes. He's a fifth of the way there. You're going to see quarterbacks this year throw for 50 touchdowns. I mean, it's just, I hate to say it because I really, really like this game. But the people who are running this game have made a stupid call in the face of mounting criticisms about the safety of the game.
That's good stuff. Let's flip around to some teams and situations going on around the league. If I would have told you the Pittsburgh Steelers would be the poster child of unhappy star players through the years, yeah, it happens. I get it. But, Peter, look at what's going on in Pittsburgh and try to make sense of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Well, you know, the Le'Veon Bell thing, it's very clear right now that he is conserving himself and preserving himself for March 2019, for the free agency class of 2019. It'll be interesting to see if the if he is welcomed back to Pittsburgh, you know, whenever he decides to come back. I'm guessing it's going to be week 10 because he doesn't want to endanger himself in the intervening time. And he wants to be as fresh and preserved as he can for 2019 and beyond when he hits the market at age 27. The Antonio Brown thing, you know, he's an incredibly hardworking, dedicated, want to be great guy, but he's also selfish, and he's shown that over the years. He's showing it Monday. Reports out this morning that he clearly missed and skipped Steelers meetings on Monday. Mike Tomlin saying today in Pittsburgh that he's going to have to meet with him. Tomlin doing his best to tap dance around a very sensitive subject. I don't believe the Steelers are going to be pressured into trading him. But if he does get traded, I think that this is one guy who, even though he's making a boatload of money, if he does get traded, this is one guy who you're going to get a one plus for him. That's the guy who the New England Patriots should be going after, not projects like Josh Gordon.
Huh. It's interesting to put it that way. Peter King with us, Football Morning in America, NBC Sports. The Chicago Bears come to Phoenix this Sunday. Are they getting it turned around, figured out? Monday night, Khalil Mack and the defense wreaked havoc on Russell Wilson. The easy answer is yes. Mitch Trubisky making progress. What do you make out of the Bears, the team that's coming here on Sunday?
You know, I wish that I could be a little bit more optimistic for Bears fans' sake about Trubisky. You know, obviously it's very early in his career, so let's not jump to any conclusions. But, man, he just has not been very accurate early on. Not that he's a 50% guy, but he's missing too many open receivers for my taste. But I think their defense can carry him. This is a defense that, in my opinion, can consistently win games in the teens. There aren't many of those in the NFL in 2018, but I think this is going to be a very, very difficult game for an anemic offense like Arizona's to get well.
Any teams, any storylines, Peter, looking ahead to week three that you're interested in? Storylines like, from my view, what's going on with Ryan Fitzpatrick in Tampa Bay? You can't just set him down on the bench. Players are now coming out saying put him out there. Look ahead to week three. What jumps out at you?
Three things. Number one, you know, Fitzpatrick Monday Night Football against the Steelers. I'll be very surprised if the Steelers go in there and get a win. The one thing about Fitzpatrick that, and I talked to him after his week one game, he's got so many weapons. Just the same thing as Patrick Mahomes. When you can spread the field and when you can have Olympic quality sprinters, you know, Deshaun Jackson, you know, you can spread the field and you can really hurt teams deep downfield and underneath. If you're an accurate passer, you're always going to have somebody open. So I look forward to, no matter what happens Monday, I don't think there's any way that Dirk Cutter is taking Ryan Fitzpatrick out in a short week, getting ready to go play the Chicago Bears in Chicago, obviously in week four. With that defense, I'd be very surprised if they make that change. Then they go into their bye week and we'll see what happens. But I think Fitzpatrick is the quarterback for them for a while. Number two, Rams and Chargers in L.A. Sort of a weird thing to believe that, wow, big rivalry game. I mean, maybe in 20 years they'll have a big rivalry, but it's hard for me to imagine that the Rams and Chargers will ever, quote, own L.A. Or whatever. But that's going to be an interesting game. And then I think the one other one that I think everybody is going to be wondering about this team and this player, but seeing the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz back, that is a fascinating deal. I've watched them twice now in the preseason, warm up once before a game and once in practice. I mean, there's no way you could watch him move around and think that he was recovering from major knee surgery. Eagles played it safe. They get him back. Indy's defense has been better than anybody thought it is, but I think he's going to come back and play well on Sunday.
Have a good week, Peter. Appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Brad. Take care.
You got it. There's Peter King there. It's always good to catch up. Football Morning in America. NBC Sports. Peter King with us every week. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now the one and only the Hall of Famer from the NFL Network and NFL.com, Michael Fabiano. All things fantasy football because guys are panicking right and left. Their team is horrible. They're 0-2. Or, Brad, I took David Johnson in the first round. What do I do with him? So we bring in Michael Fabiano. And your answer is?
Well, you can't trade him because his value is low. It's one of those situations where you have to keep playing him and hope things turn around. But I had a little bit of a rant on the podcast yesterday where I just don't get what the Cardinals are doing. Their offense is terrible right now. I mean, it's one of the worst offenses in the entire league. David Johnson's averaging 14 touches a game. 2 years ago, he was averaging 23. He's had 11 targets this year. He caught 80 balls 2 years ago. I'm not sure what the Cardinals are doing. Whatever they're doing is not helping DJ. And then you got the Bears coming in this week. So you can't bench DJ right now. You have to start him. You don't have to like it. Hopefully, Mike McCoy gets things turned around here. I've been hearing some reports that he might use DJ in the slot. Anything to get him more opportunities because he's the best player you have on your offense this side of Larry Fitzgerald, and he's banged up.
Okay, so here's a strategy. I have a number one waiver pick, okay? Mm-hmm. I've already floated it out there. I'm getting hit on by guys saying, take David Johnson off my hands. I think I can swoop in and get David Johnson for a waiver wire pick, and I'll be fine as the season progresses. My point is I'm playing the long game here with David Johnson. Is that a good strategy at this point?
Yeah. It is only 2 weeks. Things have been bad. And at some point, the Cardinals are going to smarten up and use Josh Rosen because Sam Bradford's been just dreadful. He's averaging 4 yards an attempt. He's thrown, I believe it was 12 passes behind the line of scrimmage to his receivers.
Yeah.
It's a mess. I know they gave him a lot of money. You know what? He can be a very high-priced clipboard holder and put Josh Rosen in that offense and see what happens.
Okay, let's go right down the line here on questions I'm getting. Antonio Brown, what do you do on this one?
Play him. The trade me sort of Twitter situation is a nothing burger. He'll continue to produce. Had 9 catches last week, was expecting more yardage, but he's still the best wide receiver in fantasy football.
Okay, Josh.
And he's got the Bucs this week.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. Josh Gordon, what do you make out of that? I have Josh Gordon. What do you make out of Josh Gordon and the Patriots?
You have to like the fact that he's going to be catching passes from arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Now, are there question marks? Yeah. He's got to keep his head on straight. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with his hamstring injury or if there was ever even a hamstring injury. I'm not sure. But this is arguably the best and most talented wide receiver that Tom Brady has had to throw to since Randy Moss. And we all remember what happened when Randy Moss and Tom Brady got together. I'm not suggesting Josh Gordon's going to have 20 touchdowns, but this is a very good position for Josh Gordon to have landed from a fantasy perspective. And now, Brad, it's kind of up to him.
Yeah.
If he can walk the straight and narrow and play by the rules and not cause drama, he can have a very successful rest of the season.
It's not a surprise. It's like Michael Floyd leaving Arizona and going to New England. It didn't work out. They blew him out. Mm-hmm. That's what they'll do. Ryan Fitzpatrick, all over the board questions from fans on this one because Now you have players saying, we can't possibly go over to Jameis. We have to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick. What do you make out of the Tampa Bay situation if Fitzpatrick is sitting there on the waiver wire?
Pick him up. And after week one, I sort of faded him because Eagles, tough matchup. But Fitzmagic is, wow. It's hard to even sort of conceptualize what's going on with Tampa Bay's offense, because it wasn't like this offense was considered one of the elite units in football, and all of a sudden they're putting up Don Coryell kind of numbers. So pick them up, play them. Steelers' defense is bad, but at some point I do fear that the bubble is going to burst.
Talk with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network and NFL.com. All right, so a couple of weeks into the season, who are some players that you think are emerging and some players that's, you know what, after a couple weeks, yeah, it's early, but it's time to cut bait. These are guys that just haven't worked out. You got a couple already on both sides on this question.
Yeah, so Chris Thompson's clearly emerged. James Conner has emerged with Le'Veon Bell out. Don't know when he's coming back. Austin Eckler has emerged. Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
I mean, that came out of nowhere. Yeah. I really liked Royce Freeman. That came out of nowhere. I didn't see Lindsay coming. And no one in the NFL or fantasy football world did either, because he wasn't drafted. And this guy is absolutely an electric player. You're seeing the glimpses of what we had projected for Emmanuel Sanders with Case Keenum under center there. That was something we projected, and it's come to fruition. Kenny Galladay's looked really good in the first couple of weeks. Nelson Aguilar has looked very good for fantasy fans. And if you want to go on the negative side of things, LeSean McCoy is one of the bigger disappointments, and it was kind of projected to be that way. Mm-hmm. And now he's got the damaged rib cartilage, and he's got the Vikings this week. And if he's active, do you play him? I say no, even if you drafted him in the second or third round. Seattle's backfield's been a bit of a disappointment, but I was fading both Carson and Penny in the preseason. Didn't really like that situation. I mentioned Royce Freeman. Alex Collins has had a slow start to the season, unfortunately for fantasy fans. And it looks like Buck Allen is the goal line back, which, if you had told me that in the preseason, I would have been surprised, but he has been getting those opportunities. Moving on to the wide receiver position, you want to talk about some players who have been disappointments. I mean, I'm not going to put Larry Fitzgerald in this category just yet. He got banged up last week, but you haven't seen what you were expecting after the first couple of weeks. Had a decent PPR game in week one, week two, not so much. OBJ had a big week one last week, sort of a stinker, but that's not a player that you're ever going to cut bait with. So there are certainly some big names out there who have started the season off slowly, but you also have to remember Kareem Hunt is another one that 2 weeks does not make a fantasy season.
And the fantasy all-star right now has got to be Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's gonna get 5,000 yards, Michael, the way this
it's
is
ridiculous.
Going.
It's ridiculous. Right now he's thrown for 582. Okay, Ryan Fitzpatrick has 819.
That's
sick.
Yeah,
that is sick. But Mahomes 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks, the most in NFL history for a quarterback in his first two games. He's been ridiculous, and it's all sort of set up for him. We talked about it in the preseason. Mahomes was a big time sleeper because I said it on your show. They gave him the keys to the Ferrari. No one expected this. This has been unreal. I mean, he hasn't thrown an interception. And this is a guy with limited experience as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, has just blown the doors off of every projection. And at this point, unless you have, you know, Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes and Brady or Mahomes and Watson, I mean, this guy's a must-start every single week. And it's played out perfectly because their defense is terrible. So they've been in two big-time shootouts, and they're probably going to be in another one against San Francisco because their defense isn't all that good either. So Mahomes is a guy that you're likely starting again in week three. You got to love it because he was probably a 10th or 11th round pick.
One last question, and you mentioned defenses. Because of the new rules, and what's going on with the league, are there any good defenses? Because the yards that are being put up now are arena football-like almost every week, Michael.
Yeah.
Finding a good defense is hard.
Playing the matchups. And Kurt Warner even said that. He tweeted that out last week, that you're seeing all these ridiculous numbers because, in part, the NFL is stacking the deck against defenders. But the Bears' defense looks nasty good, especially with Khalil Mack. I mean, goodness gracious, what were the Raiders thinking? They look really good. The Rams' defense looks awesome. If you're looking for a streaming defense, anytime someone's playing the Bills or the Cardinals, to be quite honest.
Yep.
And the Bears are playing the Cardinals this week, so that's going to be a really good play. Minnesota's got Buffalo. That's going to be a really good play. So there are certain offenses that you're targeting right now, but if you're looking for an elite defense, right now for me, the Bears are an elite fantasy defense, and the Rams are an elite fantasy defense, and the Jaguars are going to continue to be an elite fantasy defense. So other than that, you're probably going to be playing the matchups more often than not.
Appreciate the time as always, my friend. Stay well. Thanks.
All right, you too. Take care.
It's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network, the Hall of Famer, NFL.com. Michael Fabiano each and every week. Fantasy football right here on Sports360AZ.com. So every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics all across the campus. So much going on there. I was with President Mueller last week in his office talking about where everything is on the sports front. A lot of excitement there. We appreciate the partnership with GCU. This week on the ladies' soccer side, Mackenzie Cook is with us, forward GCU. Mackenzie is very lucky. Why is that? Because Mackenzie gets to fly to Hawaii with the rest of her team. How is it you guys play North Dakota State in Hawaii? How does that work? And when do you leave on this upcoming road trip?
So we head out tomorrow morning, and we'll get to Hawaii, I think, at like 2 o'clock their time.
Yeah.
But it's a tournament. So it's North Dakota and then Hawaii, and there's supposed to be another team, but that team can't come anymore, so it's just a three-team tournament.
And that means you get to go hit the surf, right? One last team.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. All right, so let's get down to brass tacks here about your season. Your record on the surface looks like you're having a rough year, but you've had a lot of games that have been decided by a goal or two. Just talk about your season overall, and how do you think it's going as a team, Mackenzie?
I think we got off to a rough start, and we've had a lot of adversity when it comes to injuries. And we had three ACLs already this season, so...
Jeez.
That's no fun, but, you know, the team's staying strong, and we're still working hard, and we're trying to turn it around, and I think this last weekend was a good start to that.
You lead the Lopes in goals with 4, 2 goals in each game against Portland State and Cal State Fullerton. If you were to talk about your season, I know it's a team sport, but individually, how do you think you're playing?
I think the season didn't start out as well as I had hoped it would, but this last weekend, I think, went really well, and I was able to get on the end of some balls and put them in the net, so that's always good.
So you're pleased with where you are from that standpoint. I know you always want to improve, but you're pleased generally with how you're playing?
Yeah.
That's good. Why GCU? Just take us through your backstory of what led you to GCU.
So I came down through a tournament in, I think it was my junior year of high school, and I had a sister who went to ASU and a sister who came to GCU. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted to go somewhere out of state, so not in Washington. And family is really important to me. And I had 2 of my siblings actually live in Arizona.
Okay.
And so that was a major factor. And I really liked the fact that it was a Christian university. And just the athletic program at the time was growing so much, and like it still is. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to get in there while everything's growing, and, you know, the school's grown so much, and it's cool to be a part of that atmosphere.
When I was over at campus the other day visiting with President Mueller, I walked by the soccer stadium, and I remember when that was a parking lot, or it was even like just a bunch of old Quonset huts. It was just like nothing there. And it's now one of the premier soccer facilities, I think, in the country. What's it like having that environment and resource for you to be able to play on and also to work out at?
It's super nice. The field's absolutely amazing, and it's awesome playing in the stadium under the lights on a Friday night or even like a Thursday night like last week. And it's cool just because the stadium's just a different atmosphere, and it's a lot bigger. And the fans that come out, the Havocs are awesome, and they come out and cheer us on.
Mm-hmm.
And just the facilities here are all brand new, so everything's in great shape, and it's a really good program here.
You mentioned the Havocs and the environment there. When you're not playing soccer, do you go to, like, basketball in your Havoc? Do you do that whole sort of deal, too? Do you have that ability, Mackenzie?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes and no. It's hard to go to other games like when we're traveling so much. Mm-hmm. But in the off season, all of us try to, and there's a couple basketball games that we'll all go to. We don't necessarily always sit in like the Havoc section, just because, you know, we'll go to one of their games and we'll have a game the next day, or we'll have practice in the morning, so our coaches don't want us jumping around and being crazy, but we'll still go and support other sports.
Sure, sure. Mackenzie Cookwith, this is good stuff. Forward to GCU on the ladies' soccer side. They head over to Hawaii this week as part of a tournament. Tell me about on campus and school for you. What are you majoring in and how is it going?
So I'm actually a master's student. So I graduated last December with my degree in marketing and a minor in biblical studies. Mm. And I'm currently getting a master's in business administration. So right now, all of my classes are online, which helps a lot, like when we're in season and we're traveling and stuff, because I can still get all of my schoolwork done.
That's great. What do you want to do with it? When soccer's done, what do you want to do with what you're getting academic-wise at GCU?
That is still to be decided.
Yeah, yeah. Keep playing until they take your boots off is what I like to say. Just keep playing until they say, you know, have you thought about playing in the women's league or women's leagues? They're starting to become more popular.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think after this season, this will be my last season, and then I'll probably hang up the boots after that.
All right. Well, then you've got something to fall back on for sure. Well, look, great visiting with you. Best of luck on the rest of the season, and we appreciate your time today. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
It's Mackenzie Cook, and that is this week's Talk to the Lopes.